He is able also to save forever them that come to God by him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words come to us in today's epistle, and it's not only through Christ as an intercessor that we see salvation come to us, but by Christ as God that we see salvation comes to us as well. That as God, he wants to save each and every person, and that is because of the love that he has for all of us. That's his greatest desire. That is the sole reason that he created us, was for us to save our souls, to be with him forever in heaven. And that desire, born out of divine love, is represented by imagery for us in the very devotion that we celebrate each and every first Friday of the month, that most holy of devotions, that of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our Lord put in that image of himself some symbolism that is representative of what we already believe in God, but to help foster that true love and devotion in our own hearts, he leaves us those images to remind us the importance of all of it. And with our Lord's Sacred Heart, there are many things that we see in that simple image itself. First off, is that knowing that it represents our Lord's love, we see that it comes from the heart itself. Why is it important that love, especially the love of God, comes from the heart? It shows to us how integral that is, that love given out is. It comes from something that is not an arm or a nose or some other lesser part of the body, but the most integral part to life itself. Without the heart, we die. Without the heart, we don't last in this life at all. But without the heart, we don't have that core and that foundation. And that's where that love comes from. It comes from the very most intimate, deepest core part in our Lord. Secondly, is that it's not just the heart that we see there in that image of our Lord, but rather it's a heart inflamed with fire, burning with love for man, burning with love for souls. That fire represents two very important aspects of our Lord's love. First and foremost, it represents the intensity of his love. We can't put words to the true intensity of divine love other than to say that it is divine in itself, or that it is infinite in its breadth. But it is so intense that the best representation to be given is by flame, to show how it burns brightly for all of us. And secondly, why it's so important to be represented by the flame in the heart is that because it is an all-consuming love. Few things, if any, in life consume the way fire does. If you have a log and it burns, it will continue to burn until it is reduced to ashes, till it is completely gone and you see no log left in itself. That love of our Lord is all-consuming. It is all of his entire being that loves us. There is no limit to that love. Our Lord told Saint Mary, Margaret Mary Alacoque, in one of the visions that she had of the Sacred Heart, that, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much, that it spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself." So that intensity and that all-consuming nature of our Lord's heart represented there by the fire. Thirdly, when we look at our Lord's heart, we see the light from that flame, from that heart, radiating out, not in one singular direction, but in all directions, all-encompassing, because there was his love reached out to every single direction, to every soul ever created. The love of God was meant for all of us. And it doesn't diminish in any way, no matter where we stand or no matter whom we are. Each one of us receives that divine love coming to us. And fourthly, we see in the image of the Sacred Heart a cross upon the top of it and a crown of thorns wrapped around it. What is the importance of these images of the Passion in relation to love? Well, you see, oftentimes we have a mistaken understanding of what love is. We mistake love for a feeling. We mistake love for some sort of emotion that we may have. But love is the furthest thing from a feeling or from an emotion. Those are what we would call accidents, the things that kind of can be attached to love, but don't always have to be there for love to be present. Love is an action of the will. God loves us, and he showed that by his actions. He showed that he loved each and every one of us by dying for our sins, by suffering, immense suffering for each and every one of us. A passion and death that he would have gone through for a single one of us. His love was so consuming that he gave every ounce of himself, every drop of his blood, in order to show it to us and to pay for the price of our sins. Now, seeing all of that there represented in our Lord's Sacred Heart, and seeing the importance of that imagery, we, for ourselves, can find no surprise in the fact that it's referred to not only as a simple devotion, but the source of all devotion. That we reciprocate that love back to Christ is how we have devotion to him. But with love and that desire to merit from all that our Lord has given us, we always come back to the point of what do we do? How do we return that love to God? Well, the Catechism tells us very simply our purpose in life in order to obtain salvation for ourselves, and that is to love and serve God in this life. And that service comes in many forms, and that love for God comes in many forms. But most especially, and probably most profoundly in anybody's life, through the means of a vocation. Every person is called by God to serve him by various means. But that vocation in our life comes back to that sole intention of love of God. When you think of somebody saying, what is your vocation, that they're seeking after a vocation in life, they oftentimes think of the priesthood, because the priesthood is a very obvious divine vocation given. And it is. It is the priest is chosen in, for the purpose of loving God and loving souls and trying to save souls along with his own. A religious vocation is somebody who has chosen that part represented by Mary Magdalene, that better part, that contemplative part, focused as much as possible purely on the love of God. But the vocation of marriage, which most people are called to, and those of you here for the young adults gathering, are in your own way interested in that vocation of the sacrament of matrimony, is also just as important to have that main focus be the love of God. And it's for that reason that we can see the flame in our own lives also being a good representation of our love. Because anything else that we have, if we were to spread it out amongst other places, it would diminish itself. If we took water and we spread it out, it would be thin. If we took paint and spread it out, it would be able to be seen through to what's behind it. But with fire, the more it spreads, the more intense it becomes. And so with love, the fact that we have love for a spouse or love for children doesn't mean that we love God any less. Rather, that love for a spouse and love for children that may come is there for the very purpose of intensifying that love for God. That the love of God primarily is shown to us by the scriptures, in which they tell us what true love is. True love is, by definition, according to our Lord, the love of God above all things with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul, and the love of God, our love of neighbor as ourselves, intimately united, but they further each other each. And that's especially important, that definition, to remember in courtship. Courtship is what you enter into in order to find a spouse, that you have somebody that you think, perhaps this could be the one God has chosen for me. And with that, it inherently comes with certain risks, certain temptations, but they're necessary temptations if dealt with appropriately. It necessitates us to strive hard in order to avoid sin, because those temptations are there. But we can, if we follow the church's rules for courtship, and if we try to always court well and have that primary love and that primary focus always remaining on our Lord. Because if we do so, our love will be focused in a spiritual way on souls first, before anything else. And so how do we court well? First and foremost, it starts with prayer. And I don't just mean praying to ask to be able to maintain purity in our daily lives. Of course, you have to do that. But I mean prayer every single day. Prayer, not just alone, but if you are entering into a relationship with another person, then you should be praying together. Because that common prayer will keep a common vigilance amongst yourselves. That common prayer will start any time that you spend together off on a spiritual foot. It'll start off with graces to be shared amongst you in order to live a good and holy life through your courtship. It will carry on afterwards into a holy married life that ends each night with prayer together. That prayer together has to be the first and foremost aspect, our first line of defense against temptation, and our first line in order to gain the graces, in order to court well. Most especially in that being the rosary, that to pray our rosary together is a means of innumerable amount of graces. Now, secondly, in order to court well, we need a regular attendance at the sacraments. Now, many, if not all of you, but many of you aren't able to attend every single day the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But if that opportunity is there and you have that ability to get to a Mass, what better place to come to in order to strengthen yourself? What greater source of graces can you have than God coming down upon the altar himself, receiving him in a good holy communion, Calvary renewed again and again there before our eyes? Thirdly, is that avoidance of unnecessary aspects of temptation, that avoidance of that idle alone time, that making sure that we go to public places or semi-public places, that there is safety in numbers, that there is safety in crowds around us, that we distrust our own strength, because each and every one of us is weak. Temptation is there because it is tempting to us. And so therefore, we can't merely trust in ourselves. We take all the precautions that we can in order to be able to guard ourselves, because we're guarding that which is most precious to us, our souls. Marriage is a means to loving God and to saving one's soul. It's a vocation. A vocation can only be found with prayer and through God's aid. And so therefore, your prayer, your courtship must be the same. It must be divinely focused. It must be focused around the sacraments and around prayer. And if you keep that aspect in your life, and you keep that love of God as your central focus always, you'll always find that your courtship will be one of grace and merit. Your marriage will be one of increasing piety and holiness and fruits. And your eternity will be found resting in our Lord's Sacred Heart. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.